1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Again, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. One more time, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you ever make any of those little placards to put on your tables for a meal or a guest coming over for Thanksgiving, this would be a great verse this coming week for Thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to open the Word of God and to own a copy of the Word of God. And we know that it is preserved, inspired Word of God that we hold in our hands, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. There's no contradictions in it. And we thank you, Lord, for preserving it for us this day. Help us to be diligent students of the Word of God. Now, as we open it, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would help us to understand what we're learning and teaching us through the Scriptures, that we might know more about how to live the Christian life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us this morning and this day. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. You may be seated. We have been studying this quarter as we've come through many weeks now, looking at the standard of the eagle and the standard of the cross. And those that are new to the class today, we have been looking at those individuals in the New Testament that we can take notice of, that teach us and help us to understand if they are carrying the standard of the eagle or the standard of the cross through their words only or through their actions. And where their heart really is and what standard they're lifting up through the actions of their heart and the words out of their heart. And the standard of the eagle, of course, represents the Roman Empire in the New Testament. And the standard of the eagle represented worldliness, idolatry, false gods. It helps us to understand the carnality of man. And if you're chasing after and following after the fleshly things, the worldly things, the carnal things. And then the standard of the cross, of course, represents heavenly things, eternal things, those things that please God. So as Christians today, as we're here today, you say through our mouths, yes, I lift high the standard of the cross. I will defend the standard of the cross. I will support the standard of the cross. What do your actions say? What does your life testimony say? Is it just words only that we're lifting that standard high and willing to stand by the banner, stand by the standard, and fight for the standard? Or is it through our actions as well? And we've seen many individuals through this study, but we come today to someone who is pacifying the people that he is to lead. He is a pacifier. He is one that's seeking to please man rather than God. So turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, and we'll begin in Galatians 1, looking at verse number 6. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now notice verse 10, Galatians 1, verse 10. "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." That's pretty plain teaching from Paul. but of course through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's penning these words. And he is saying, if I seek to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. Christians, today, as you're here today and as we think of Christendom on the world today, have you ever desired or have you ever taken a position in a secular job just to be seen of man? Are you striving today for a promotion at work and putting all your emphasis and power and energy into getting that promotion just to be seen of men? Are you trying to be lifted up before man in your occupation? Are you trying to receive the praise of man in your secular job? Now, we all love to be noticed, and we love recognition, and we love to have a pat on the back. But is that why you're doing your job? To get those pat on the back? To say, to have someone come and you say, oh, I just love the work that you do. Or are you putting all your energy into getting a more noticeable position so that people can say, there he is, that's the man, he's the leader, he's the one? Or have you ever served in a position or are serving today in a position in the Lord's work to be noticed by man, to receive the praise of man, to be lifted up before man? To hold this book before others and to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, is a fearful thing. It comes with a high, high responsibility. And if we are doing that, teachers, assistant teachers, Sunday school workers, assistants, monitors, wherever, whatever we're doing for the Lord, if we're doing that to receive the pleasing, to receive the praise of man, or to please man, or to be lifted up before man, we're doing it for the wrong reason. We are to rather seek and please God rather than man. What does the Word of God say about living and serving God? In Galatians 2:20 it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Does that sound like Paul's trying to be puffed up before man? No. He's dying to self. I am crucified with Christ. I want Christ to be honored in my life and nothing of Paul. And Luke 9:23 said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. He's teaching his disciple, and he says, if you desire to follow me, you must first deny yourself. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It is a daily crucifying of self. It is a daily dying to self. Some, it's a moment by moment dying to self, hour by hour. In Galatians 5:24, we're here in the book of Galatians. Let's look at this one. In Galatians 5 and verse 24, Paul is writing here and he says, and they that are Christ, that means you belong to Christ. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You belong to Christ. And they that are Christ, why do we belong to Christ? We're bought with a price. With His precious blood we've been bought and purchased. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They crucified the flesh. You know that's a painful process? It's a difficult process. But if we are to please the Lord, we have to do this. We have to put ourselves down. We have to put our flesh down. We have to beat it into submission. In John 12:24, the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And one last in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. We are to surrender ourselves to the will of God. We are to surrender our lives to the will of God. We have been bought with a price. We are not our own anymore. We belong to the Lord. If the will of God, and God has a will for every Christian, it might not be a full-time minister or a full-time teacher or a full-time missionary, but He has a will for every Christian. It is your job to seek out that will. And you can only do that through prayer and through reading of the Scripture and studying of the Scripture. If you desire to know, He will reveal it. If the will of God is in conflict with our own desires, with our own goals, with our own dreams, with our own ambitions, then we are to surrender all of those to the Lord. Because the will of God should be first place in every Christian's life. Our dreams, our goals, our ambitions, our 10-year plan, our 5-year plan, if it conflicts with God's plan, then ours must be sacrificed on that altar. We are His. We are bought with a price. We are to follow the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit of God. Today we turn to look at an individual whom is very little known in Scriptures. We don't know how old he was when we are introduced to him in Scripture. We don't know where he was born. We don't know where he was raised. We don't know where he died. We don't know how he died. We know 10 years of this individual's life. But those 10 years represent a lot about this man. His actions within these 10 years reveal that he is serving the public for the purpose of trying to please them. He's pacifying them. He is trying to receive the praise of man. This individual encapsulates many of the traits of the individuals we've already studied throughout this study, this quarter. He desires a life of comfort and ease. He desires building a legacy for himself. He desires longevity of his position and the power that he holds. There is no proof that this individual ever received Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's speculation, there's thoughts, there's no proof. There are no facts about his early life. There is thoughts, there is traditions, but no facts about who he was before and after we're mentioned him in the Scriptures. All that is known of this individual is from 26 A.D. to 36 A.D. We are introduced to him in Luke chapter 3. Let's turn there. In Luke chapter 3, we are at 26 A.D. Emperor, the Roman Emperor Tiberius is on the throne in Rome. In chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Ethria, and of the region of Trachonius, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene." Notice the second individual mentioned in this book, in this chapter, in this verse. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. He was appointed by the Roman emperor himself, Tiberius, in 26 AD to become the Roman prefect or the Roman governor over Judea, over Samaria, and over Idumaean, which is a southern region south of Judea. These were his regions that he was governor of for the Roman emperor, and he reported only to the Roman emperor. He was the law of the land. The normal length for a governor to rule in a Roman province was 1 year with exception 3 years. 3 years was truly a remarkable exception. Pontius Pilate ruled as governor over these regions for the Roman Emperor Tiberius for 10 years. Do you think he was doing some things that people were pleased? Do you think he was pacifying and giving the people what they wanted? Do you think that there was really that many uprisings during Pontius Pilate's governorship of these regions? Rome would have come right in and removed him if there was turmoil in the land. He ruled for 10 years where the norm was 1 year, with exception up to 3 years. As governor, his responsibilities were collecting of the taxes, managing and overseeing construction projects for the Roman Empire, and maintaining law and order within the regions he was governor. The governor could use any means necessary, peaceably or violently, to maintain the peace and order within his provinces. He had all law. He was considered the supreme judge in his provinces. He was the only one, the governor of this province was the only individual that had the authority to say that a criminal could be executed. That's why Jesus was brought to Pilate. Jesus wasn't a criminal, but Pilate had the authority to put him to death. He held a very prominent position. The position of a Roman appointed governor or prefect was a very honorable position. You only got it because you proved yourself in battle or you were one of the elite families of Rome. We don't know which Pilate was of. But he was one of the two. He either proved himself on battle as a very courageous and brave man or he was of an honorable and elite family of Rome. The governor reported strictly to the emperor. He represented Rome in his provinces. He was Rome in Judea. He was Rome in Samaria. He was Rome in Idumea. He brought forth. These are the protocols, these are the laws, these are the justices that we will carry out for the emperor. He exercised enormous power in keeping the submission of the subjects of these regions. Now, nobody liked the collecting of taxes, nobody liked the raising of taxes, nobody liked these public works, really, that Rome was doing at the expense of the temple tax in Jerusalem. He also commanded troops. All the troops that were in his provinces, he was like the commander-in-chief in his regions. He could send them out to quell a rebellion, or he could send them out to feed the poor. He had every right within his provinces to command those troops. And he could also impose the death penalty. If the Lord has placed you in a prominent position in your place of work, are you striving to please man or God? Notice with me Colossians chapter 3. Most of us probably have heard it, if not memorized it, in Colossians chapter number 3. A verse that goes right along with this is verse 17, Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, that pretty much encompasses everything we either say or we do. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of who? The Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If God has placed you in a position and God has given you an opportunity to serve in the church or in secular or both, Are you doing all in your word and in your deeds to please Christ? Or are you doing it to be puffed up in front of man, to be lifted up in front of man, to pacify man, to please man? Do you seek the praise of men or do you seek the praise of God? I tell you which one is more important. When we get to heaven, you want to be praised by God and not have those praise of men, because that won't be there. He had a prominent position. He was pacifying as a politician. We have those today, don't we? They promise what the people want. And then they get in position and we really find out their true colors. Well, let's not just talk about politicians today. What about Christians today? What about church members of Fellowship Baptist Church today? I'm not talking about any individual. I'm talking us as a collective group. Are we in a position that says, if I can get to that position... And there's sign-up sheets out there today. You can sign up for a position. And if you say, I'm going to serve in this position, why are you serving in that position? Are you doing it to be lifted up before man, to receive the praise of man, or are you doing it because you said, I want to serve God? Pilate ruled in alliance with the Jerusalem leaders of that day, the Sanhedrin court. He was buddy-buddy with them. Remember, he is trying to please man. He pleased man pretty good because he outlasted the one-year rule and he outlasted the exception of three-year rule. He lasted 10 years as governor over his regions. He made some pretty strong alliances in these areas, in these provinces. He sought to please the Jewish leaders and procure favor with these Jewish people. However, Rome's interest always came first. Our politicians today, they say, we're going to please our constituents. You vote for me and you elect me and I'm going to get into office and I'm going to fight for your rights. And some do, but others do not. They get into position and they're like, oh, my interest come first. My future comes first. Christian, today, as you're serving God, these earthly treasures that we're searching after and seeking after and chasing after, they're going to be gone. The heavenly rewards that we're laying up will be there forever. We will be able to go into heaven and receive those crowns and those awards only to be able to give it back to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all I have, Lord. This is all that I have been able to do, all my energy, all my strength, everything that I have done for you in this earth, I give it all back to you, and it's still not enough to thank you. That's what we should be striving after on this earth. I tell you, Christian, He could come back today. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back today? And if you're saying, well, when I reach retirement age, or when I reach a certain pinnacle of my financial freedom, or when I receive this, or when I put in this position, I'll do this for God. Don't wait. The signs of the times that He could come back today. And whatever we have done from today back is what is laid up in heaven if it's done correctly. Don't look towards the future and say, when I get to... No, because we're not promised tomorrow. On the job, are you sacrificing your conscience and your inward peace to meet a deadline? Oh, you're meddling now. I've been there. I have been there. I have served in hospitals for 20 years trying to please man, meeting deadlines, some unbelievable deadlines, but to meet deadlines, we cut corners. We make shortcuts. Does that please man or please God? Are we trying to maintain a budget and we cut corners to the point that it's displeasing to God? We need to be careful as Christians. Our words and our deeds must please Jesus Christ. All of them. As Pilate gave the people what they wanted, law and order was maintained. Rome was happy. The Jewish people were happy. The praise of man was Pilate's idol. The praise of man is the idol before which Pilate bowed down. And to that idol he sacrificed his own conscience and he sacrificed his inward peace because he was not being himself, true to himself. He was giving the people what they wanted. As Christians, we are not to take those shortcuts, those shoddy work to meet those deadlines or to pacify our bosses. We are to do all to the glory of God. Someone seeking the praise of man cannot bear to be unpopular. Are you seeking to be the most popular person at work? Man's acceptance and praise for an individual could be here today and gone the next. The praise of man does not last. They'll turn on you in a dime. John 12:43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Galatians 1:10, we looked at earlier, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We are to strive to please God, not man. He also is what we know Pilate for in the trial of Jesus Christ, the mockery of a trial. He was a reluctant participant. As the Roman-appointed governor, Pilate was the supreme judge in Judea. To go against the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin court, was to lose the praise of man. He would be unpopular. And people that are striving to please men must be popular. To go against the Jewish people would stir up possible rioting, uprisings, turmoil. And who would that not please but Rome itself? And they would come and remove him from his position. To allow an individual to go uncondemned that was said to be a king without Roman acceptance was a treasonous act. Now, Jesus didn't say that he was king of the Jews. That was what the Sanhedrin court and the Jewish leaders said about him. He says he is the king of the Jews. Jesus says, "Thou sayest," when Pilate questions him. But to allow that to go uncondemned was a treasonous act by Pilate to the emperor, and he could be put to death. Pilate understood that the accusations against Jesus were unfounded. Let's notice real quickly just a few passages of Scripture in Luke 23. I challenge you to go back and look at these occurrences in the gospel records, and notice Pilate's position. In Luke 23:1-5, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. Go over to verse 13 for sake of time. Verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. I find no fault in him. Matthew 27 talks about this. John 19 talks about this. But look with me in Acts 3 and what Peter says. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Pilate was determined to let Christ go. He found no fault in this man. He even washed his hands and said, I'll have none of this. He realized Jesus was innocent. But yet, he wanted the popularity of the people. He wanted the praise of man. He wanted to please man. So what does he do? He gives Jesus up to be scourged and crucified. He had the authority to condemn the execution of Jesus Christ. Sentence him to execution. And that's what he did. Christians, we are to be guided by the Holy Spirit and not as we seek to please men or to receive the praise of man. We are to strive to please God, not man. What is popular is not always right. You believe that? What is popular is not always right, and what is right is not always popular. To take a stand for what is right is not the popular thing to do today. But we as Christians are to take a stand for what is right. Disobeying God is to go along with the crowd. That's a serious matter. As Christians, we must be prepared to take a stand for what is right, what is holy, and what is true. Today, they are running rampant over what is not right, what is not true, what is not holy, and we as Christians are letting them do it. We must take a stand. Pilate was lifting high the standard of the eagle, saying, I want the praise of man. I want to be popular. I want to please man. Through his practice, he was striving at all costs to please man. At the price of sacrificing his personal conscience of what was right, what was true, and what was just. What are you sacrificing to receive the praise of man? Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Help us to do as Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to sacrifice our conscience. Help us not to sacrifice what is holy, true, and just to receive the praise of men and to please mankind. Help us not to take a position in work or in the church to be lifted up before man, but to be die to self and to live for you and to please you. Help that to be every action of the church here today, is to take a position to please you and to follow your will and not our own. Bless our pastor, Lord. Give him the strength and the power he needs to preach the message you've laid on his heart. Bless the other assemblies going on in the next hour. I pray someone be saved today. In Christ's name, amen.